Call meeting to order, House Community Regional First Committee, Monday, March 4, 1991, at 1:35 PM. Members present today are Chairman, myself, Representative Mackey, Vice Chairman Sherry Davis, and Representative Larry Baker. Purpose today is to hear public hearing on the Community Services Block Grant State Plan, and also on the Community Development Block Grant Final Statement, yes? Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Gonzalez is here also, excuse me, for the record. I understand there are numerous sites present via teleconference throughout the state. I don't have that list yet. The list will be given to me once it's available. So those teleconference sites that are out there, I encourage you to get your names in right away. I don't know if how many people will be able to take testimony from today, but I'll try to accommodate as many people as we can. What I'd like to do to start the meeting here today is to hear from those present in person here at Juneau while the teleconferencing sites are transmitting their people to us. First of all, Chuck Akers, Deputy Director of Rural Development Division, is here, and I'd ask for you to state your name and occupation and provide your portion of the hearing today.
Do you have to press this down or just turn it on?
Flip the button forward.
My name is Chuck Akers. I'm the Deputy Director of the Rural Development Division in the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. I'm here as a resource person today on these two particular block grants. The block grants are federal funds. The first block grant is Community Services Block Grant, which is comes to us from the Department of Health and Social Services and requires a legislative hearing. The second is the Community Development Block Grant Final Statement. It comes to us from Housing and Urban Development. And with that, we are here to represent the division and the department in this issue. Thank you very much.
Okay, Judy Holden is here also. And also for resource purposes, did you have anything to say yet on this? It was my understanding there was going to be an overview given of...
Okay, very simply on the overview, currently under the Community Services Block Grant State Plan, basically the state of Alaska receives funds from Health and Social Services in the tune of about $1.1 million this year. Is that correct, Judy?
Correct.
And of those funds, they go to a community action agency. In the case of the state of Alaska, we have one community action agency, which is RuralCAP, Rural Alaska Community Action Program. RuralCAP is a subgrantee of the state and carries out the mission of attempting to assist lower income people in working through the system in the instances of assisting people at Head Start, in weatherization programs, and administrative and organizational issues in lower income communities. The Community Development Block Grant Final Statement is comes to us from HUD, and it is small cities funds that are used to deal with low-income, moderate-income people's needs in housing and economic development issues. The state of Alaska in the past 3 years has attempted to program these funds towards economic development activities, such as economic development infrastructure and enterprise development. And that's the effort in its simplest form.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Akers. So, committee will stand at ease. Do you have a list of people who want to testify today here in person? We're back on record. The record will reflect that Representative Betty Davis has joined us, and also Representative Gail Phillips is present. I still haven't gotten the list of people that wish to testify via teleconference, but Harold Martin is here and would like to offer testimony today. Mr. Martin, if you take a seat here and state your name and occupation for the record. And I'd like to ask everyone to perhaps try to offer their testimony in the neighborhood of 2 to 3 minutes until we see how many people out there that we have to accommodate. Welcome, Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to speak. My statement will be very brief. My name is Harold Martin. I'm a tribal operations officer for the Central Council of the Aboriginal Tribes of Alaska. The Central Council is a federally recognized tribal entity, and we represent roughly 15,700 people. I'm going to speak on Central Council's involvement with RuralCAP through the Rural Alaska Resources Association. The Central Council has a member, a board member on the Rural Alaska, I'll call it RARO. As a board member on RARO that represents Central Council. The Rural Alaska Resources Association, made up of nonprofits throughout the state, we feel that the RARO provides a valuable service to Southeast in the following manners. One, RARO keeps us informed of all subsistence issues, as well as changes in regulations and new legislation. They provide a forum for interchange of information. They provide input on issues that are vital to all rural Alaskans and natives. Most importantly, RARO helps regions see issues from a statewide perspective and helps regions respond to policy initiatives or legislation that affect native communities. The Central Council recommends continued CSPG funding for RuralCAP and RARO. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Martin. Stand by a minute. People that were reserved for okay, we'll go now to Dillingham. I understand that Russ Burkhart and Marnie Sweet are signed up to testify. Mr. Burkhart, perhaps we can take you first.
Yes, thank you. I'm the Federal Programs Director for Southwest Region Schools, and one of the programs that I work with is Early Childhood Development. And I'd like to speak in regards to our association with the RuralCAP agency. Over the past 3 years, we have been involved in regards to early childhood development and staff training. We have some of our staff have gone through the early childhood certificate program. RuralCAP has been very supportive in supplying and providing technical assistance in regards to our early childhood program, curriculum, in regards to supplies, materials. They've been very supportive of our efforts, and I would like to continue our support in regards to assisting them, and we work very good together in a collaborative effort, and I'm here in regards to support of the RuralCAP proposal of the Childhood Development.
Okay, thank you, Russ. Marty Sweet.
Justice Project of Bristol Bay Native Association. I'd like to encourage the committee to consider the importance of funding the portion of the RuralCAP request for child sexual assault programs This is a topic that is difficult for some people to acknowledge. However, we know that young women, for example, who have been sexually assaulted tend to develop abusive relationships, go into prostitution and promiscuity and drug abuse and alcohol abuse. And young men who are sexually assaulted become violent very often, become batterers, and also develop sexual or alcohol and substance abuse problems. And these sexual assault individuals very often end their lives in suicide because they just don't get the support they need. So I encourage you to support the rural camp portion of this, again, for child sexual assault. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Marty. Next we'll go to Bethel, Fred Pete from Bethel. Representative Baker.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question. Both of these programs, are these federal pass-through dollars?
That's correct.
So these are just pass-through programs. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Again, we'll go to Bethel. Fred Pete is standing by in Bethel.
Yes, Fred Pete at Bethel. I support the rural cap alcohol and drug abuse prevention programs, also the parent-child programs, subsistence program, the Rural Providers Conference, and also the VCP they have in Juneau. And I'd like to say that some of these programs are very essential in the small villages where there are no programs. And we look up to Rural Cap to help us with some of these unmet needs in the villages. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Peake. Next we'll go to Fairbanks to hear Dick Ferris in Fairbanks.
Yes, this is Dick Ferris, Fairbanks. I'm an employment specialist with the state of Alaska, but I'm also the treasurer of a local organization, the Breadline, here in Fairbanks. Most people think of Rural Cap in terms of rural areas, yet Rural Cap of Alaska has been one of the Breadline's strongest supporters here in Fairbanks in helping us feed hungry people. And last summer, they were able to give us a grant that enabled us to serve over 20,000 hot meals here in Fairbanks. What especially impresses me about Rural Cap is their organization and their manner of direct delivery of services to services that help low-income people, both in rural and urban areas. They maximize service delivery and minimize the administrative overhead, and I strongly urge support of full funding for Rural Cap, and would be more than happy to provide any written testimony or anything that you want on their behalf. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ferris. Next we'll go to Glen Allen, Carolyn Nelson in Glen Allen.
This is Glen Allen. There is no one to testify. Just observe. Thank you.
Thank you. Metlakatla, Karen Thompson.
Yes, this is Metlakatla, and we are, again, a population of 1,575, and we're in support of the Community Service Block Grant because of our, through my program, I guess, we do a lot of prevention, health, education, and the two programs that we've really been had an impact on the community is the BASE program and the family system. And our goals as far are looking at training within the community trainers. So we are in support of no cuts within this area. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I inadvertently forgot one person in Fairbanks. We'll go back to Fairbanks. We're starting to get more and more people, so we'd ask you to be brief. Sybil Skelton in Fairbanks.
Hello, totally extemporaneous. Represents
override, which is an effort to, for corporations at the lowest level. I don't see that it's adaptable to your most far out rural, as far as that goes. However, places where any kind of tourists go, and I don't think it wouldn't be in rural either. But I guess if you want it limited to 2 minutes, I don't know how much I've had already, but I can do correspondence on a thing. I have a bigger problem of this adverse possession. I don't know if you guys are playing that game or not. So if you are, I guess I'll have to wait till next year to talk, because I'm not allowed to talk here at the assembly because they're playing adverse possession. And if I agree, they call it off and have another meeting. So I don't know whether to continue or not, whether I'm doing harm or good. So I'll leave it right there. Okay,
Ms. Skelton, thank you very much for testifying today. Glen Allen, I understand, is observe only. At Lakatla, we've had them. Tanana, we'll go to Tanana next. Irene Nikolai.
This is Dr. Matthew. My name is Irene Nikolai. I'm
from
Tanana. I'm a programs administrator for the Tanana Irene Native Council. I'm here to testify on behalf of RuralCAP, the Rural Community Action Program. They are a very important organization to rural Alaska, and they have provided many benefits to many rural members of Alaska in providing valuable services and information on subsistence and wildlife issues, as well as providing alcohol training and putting on the Village Participation Conference, which is a forum for village people to bring issues to the table and also to find solutions to these problems. They are our link to many of the ongoing issues that have detrimental impacts on our communities. And I would not like to see any cuts made to the Rural Community Action Program grant that they are applying for. Thank you for listening to me today.
Thank you, Irene, for testifying today. Next we'll go to Fort Yukon. Pat Stanley is in Fort Yukon. No, I can't. Actually, you're breaking up. If you could try getting a little bit closer to the microphone and try again, okay? Is somebody moving the microphone or the speakerphone? Why don't you try it again, okay?
Okay, let me try the other mic.
Actually, that sounded just fine. If you'd like to go ahead and begin. Certainly, while we have you online, we could take a couple more people. I guess we're moving through these faster than I thought we were. I appreciate everybody being brief. We've had some problems in the past, but if you'd like to have a few more people testify, just have them state their name and occupation and speak clearly into the mic. Thank you. Thank you. Before you do that, if everyone out there can check their mics to see if somebody has an open mic, sometimes that's causing a problem. Fort Yukon, we were having a little bit of difficulty in making out the last person's testimony. Whatever you did before that on the first speaker, if they could do that again, because it came in much clearer. So we're still at Fort Yukon and go to the next speaker. Also, we have Barrow and Sitka who are just observing. Are there any communities out there that are tied in that I didn't mention or that haven't already testified? We will be going back to Bethel. I know there's another speaker in Bethel. So are there any other communities that I don't have on my list? Okay, then what I would like to do is to go in that order. We'll continue hearing the speakers. And then I would like to go back to each community in the order in which they testified, and I will ask if you have any specific questions for Chuck Akers or Judy Holden, who are here from this the directors of this program, and ask if they have any, if you have any specific questions to them or questions from the committee. So that's what my intentions are. At this time, we'll go to Cake. Shirley Jackson is standing by. Cake.
My name is Shirley Jackson. I'm the teacher director of the Cake Head Start, and I'm here to testify for the block grant in support of Rural CAP. Through this grant, the village has the Village Participation Council, the Head Start program, the BABES, the alcohol and drug abuse. We also get staff and parent training. Through this grant, Rural CAP helps the community feel good about themselves as they become more aware of how they can take control of their own lives. Good job, Rural CAP. Keep it up.
Thank you for that testimony. Shirley, next, Marianne Condro.
Yes, I'm the kindergarten teacher here at the Cape Public Schools, but I've been very involved with the Head Start program, both as a parent volunteer and as a community volunteer. And I appreciated greatly the support Rural CAP has given to our community, especially for families. I was trained in the BABES program and presently using it with my kindergarten children, and supporting its use in the Head Start, and found it really effective. And I support continued support for Rural CAP through the Community Action Block Grant.
Okay, Marianne, did that complete your testimony? It sounded like something happened to the mic there.
No, that completed my testimony. We also have Paul Acevedo here, who's representing the Organized Village of Cake.
Hey, Paul. Welcome.
Thank you. I work for the Organized Village of Cake. I'm a social worker. And I support the ROCAP for working on the Head Start and the BABES program. Also, I like support for the family systems, which is the training I'm taking now. And I have one more course to complete. And from what I've learned out of this, it's going to be a big benefit to all the communities that are taking part of this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else in Cake?
No, that's all the participants we have here in Cake.
Okay, thank you very much, Cake. Next, we'll go to Anchorage. Janine Kennedy is in Anchorage.
Thank you. My name is Janine Kennedy. I'm executive director for Rural CAP, and Chairman Mackey and members of the House Committee on Community and Regional Affairs. I thank you for this opportunity to provide testimony on the DCRA 1991 state plan. After hearing all those good things people were saying, I was all inspired, but when it comes to my turn to talk, I get all nervous. But anyhow, in general, Rural CAP wishes to say that we support the plan. We do have a few comments and requests for changes in the language of the plan, which I will provide at the end of the testimony. As you've heard, the CSBT is designed to work with the grassroots people and those who are below poverty income guidelines. Rural CAP's emphasis is on rural Alaska, where the average unemployment rate is estimated to be between 60% and 75%. When you consider that during the Great Depression, the unemployment rate was nationally 25% and was considered a disaster, you can see why our emphasis is on rural Alaska. However, we do provide services and do a lot of coordinating with urban organizations. In regard to poverty, which is what the SBG is designed to address, there are many different kinds of poverty. There's poverty of income, poverty of access, spiritual poverty. And I think a lot of times people don't understand where Rural CAP is coming from. If they think of poverty, they immediately think, well, why aren't they creating jobs? And in a sense, after thinking about it for many years, in rural Alaska, we find that, you know, issue of alcohol and other drug abuse, violence, suicide, and these overwhelming social ills, they are the obstacles over which people must you know, people must overcome to realize their full, human potential. And so, because all these things affect not only rural Alaskans, but they affect us all in the whole state. And so, it's important to address these core issues. And that's where our emphasis is in supporting young children, families, and preventive activities, and empowering people. Because we believe that once the healing is completed, a stronger foundation is built so that economic development activities, as you know, is expressed in the traditional sense, and self-sufficiency have a better chance of succeeding. I want to emphasize that, you know, Rural CAP does have a good reputation. We have a long history. We're a credible organization. We provide services that are needed. Can you? What? Oh, that's someone was talking. Anyhow, we have a good track record, bottom line, and we have a good reputation for engaging people in addressing their own problems, working on their own dreaming up solutions at the state level or the federal government level, and then bringing them down on people doesn't always work. And people have to be involved, they have to be participate, they have to buy in to working on those issues that they consider important. And I think that's what Rural CAP's real expertise is to be able to inspire and gain confidence of people and to assist them. So I have a very detailed written testimony here, which I will not read all of it. We do a lot of things. CSVG is our most precious money. We have a big alcohol and other drug prevention project, and I must say that with the use of CSVG funds, what we do is we write grants, write proposals, and get grants to do the work of alcohol and drug abuse prevention. And with the use of CSVG funds, we've been able to generate $4 million in grants from federal sources over the past 4 years. We have one such project at Fort Yukon, which is a 5-year project which engages the community to teach their young people how about their culture. And it has been very successful because of the fact that the people are interested in teaching their culture, and it's like they've been given permission to do it or something. But it has brought the community together, and there are a lot of neat things happening as a result of that. We have another project in Emonic, where we go through the Head Start program, much like the one we operate in Southeast, where we work with the parents of the young children and give them education and skills and tools for improving their lives and families. So anyhow, we have all these things we do, and I won't go into them here. I will also mention that Rural CAP, as a CAP, receives emergency homeless funds channeled through DCRA, and we subcontract these funds to existing urban organizations or regional hubs, which are already in existence, to provide services to the homeless and near homeless. Organizations and agencies which receive funds through Rural CAP in this way are in Anchorage, the Beans Cafe, the Brother Francis Shelter, and the Association for Stranded Rural Alaskans. And Bethel, it would be the Tundra Women's Coalition, and Fairbanks, the Breadline, and Ketchikan Women in Safe Homes. Additionally, Rural CAP uses some of the emergency homeless funds to assist people in the villages who suffer homelessness because of fire, et cetera, or emergency situations. Rural CAP wishes to point out that the Southeast area covered by CCAP in the past is now covered by Rural CAP, and we're contiguous to that area and have actually operated programs within the area for over 20 years. We have always included Southeast low-income people in all of our activities and continue to do so. And we can do it better now that we now receive funds from that were currently, I mean, that were previously allocated to CCAP. Additionally, currently, Rural CAP has 3 board members from Southeast. We have a target area member represented by the Clinkett House one, get a hide at Central Council, and two, members. And we want to, Rural Cap wishes to say that, you know, we've had these Head Start programs in Haines, Cape, Ketchikan, and Heidelberg, and the ways that these people have been involved are through our village participation conference. We've worked in alcohol prevention and community development activities from in a number of Southeast communities prior to past year. And many of the Southeast communities have participated in our alcohol department's prevention department's personal and community development trainings and other skill building trainings, as well as the annual Rural Providers Conference. Rural CAP puts on each year a Rural Providers Conference, which is for people from the villages around the state who want to share, gain skills, training, and all information about how to address alcohol and drug abuse at the village level. And when we began this conference, 60 people participated. And last year, conference was held in across, and there were 800 people. We are expecting 1,000 rural Alaskans to convene in Kenai this year. And so I was talking about the fact that the reason I'm mentioning all this is because I was under the impression that there was some concern that maybe we weren't, Rural Camp wasn't providing enough input or, you know, services for Southeast, but I just want to make everybody really aware of the fact that we do. And we have working agreements with the University of Alaska in Southeast, which is providing college credit to people who take our trainings and aid, as well as the credentialing program. So that was one of the things I wanted to mention, was that this year with this, the former CCAP funds, what we've been working on is family systems training, spirit of family, and faith. I can tell you what those are, or maybe you already know, but I will provide information sheet for you with the testimony. Anyhow, we've received a lot of positive response from Southeast communities and people who've been engaged in the trainings about the value of these endeavors. And so that was what concerned me a little bit. In the plan on page 2, it makes reference to the fact that Rural CAP is now temporarily covering the region formerly served by CCAP. As you know, unfortunately, CCAP was decertified and terminated last year. And it is my understanding, well, you know, it's a historical fact about community action agencies that during President Reagan's term, the SBG was drastically reduced, and the Office of Economic Opportunity was reorganized. And the CAPs, which are the only organizations which can receive the SBG funds, began to receive their funds through the state government, channeled through the state government, rather than directly from the federal government. And at that time, language was inserted to make sure that no new CAPs were born. And CCAP got in just under the wire, and it probably has the distinction of having been the last federally recognized CAP. And it is my sense that the state believes that the governor has the power to create new CAPs. And what I wanted to point out was that in the reauthorization law of 1984, I need to get the exact date of the reauthorization, the language was inserted in that reauthorization, which gives existing CAPs the power to approve or disapprove the creation of CAPs. So until Rural CAP ceases to function as a bona fide CAP, we are the sole entity entitled to receive CSDG funds after the state gets them. And, you know, just I think that we do a good job, we're credible, we're, and we do things inexpensively, and I just feel like that we need the support in the state plan that has language that says, yes, Rural CAP, we think you're doing a good job, and you are the CAP that receives the funds. So I've written some new language in an insert on page 2, section C, paragraph 3, and I would read that. It says, the way I think it would look better to be written is, up until April of 1990, Alaska had two designated community action agencies, Rural CAP and CCAP, the Southeast Alaska Community Action Program. CCAP, following years of administrative and financial mismanagement, was dissolved by the Board of Directors and terminated by the Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs in the spring of 1990. Southeast is covered by Rural CAP, which already provides services at the SDG activities in the region. And on page 9, paragraph 1, I would request the same language to be substituted for the last two sentences of paragraph 1 on page 9. And on page 9, section B, first paragraph, I would request that this portion be rewritten and state the following new language and have this inserted. Rural CAP, as a sole CAA, is good standing and eligible to receive CSBG funds, and the state will receive 100% of the 1991 CSBG CAA project funds. So these are my comments, and I would request committee to leave the record open for my testimony. I know you're going to have your testimony until March 20th. I would like to provide you with any additional information that you may desire. And if you have questions, I would be most happy to try to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Maggie Carey in Anchorage.
I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to testify and to urge your support and full funding for Rural CAP. My name is Maggie Carey. I'm the director of Beans Cafe. Beans Cafe, as some of you know, is a soup kitchen and day shelter. We're located in Anchorage, but the client group that we serve includes not only residents of our community, but increasing numbers of rural Alaskans who migrate to the urban areas and become stranded. In short, we see our program as a statewide service, and it's in that regard that we work very closely with Rural CAP. We receive grant funding from Rural CAP, and that grant funding enables us to provide badly needed food and shelter service. Rural CAP provides essential statewide services, not only to those who find themselves in urban areas, but to growing numbers of folks who are displaced and become homeless who come from rural Alaska. They're strongly committed to working and providing services to those needy folks who need a whole host of services that improves their self-sufficiency, their levels of education and training in helping those needy people to break the cycle of poverty. And a particular concern I see this year are the growing numbers of homeless people, particularly homeless single-parent families. And those are generally headed most typically by women. So I really would strongly urge your support for full funding of Rural CAP. It enables them to keep up their really fine work with indigent and low-income individuals and families throughout the whole state. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maggie Carey. Representative Baker from Anchorage would like to make a comment.
Maggie, this is Larry. I just wanted to say hi to you today, and I'm glad that I'm here on CNRA so we can help your agency that I know does an awful lot of good for the people around the state.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your support of Rural CAP, too.
Thank you, Representative Baker. Next we'll go to Nome. Dan Dietrich in Nome.
Yes, that's me. I'm the assistant director of the Nome Teen Center. Along with me observing this afternoon is the director of the Nome Teen Center, Bill Buchanan. Our question, if you could answer quickly and then I'll probably move, but we are funded by the state. We have three grants that we operate under. We are funded by the Department of Family Youth Services, actually funded by the Office of Prevention, also the Community Action for Alcohol and Substance Abuse, and the Department of Family Youth Services. Now, our question is, does this fall under what you are speaking of, this grant?
Mr. Akers?
No, this grant is Community Services Block Grants from the Health Services. and it goes to the Community Action Agency of the state, which happens to be RuralCAP. RuralCAP happens to have several programs that these funds have helped them generate, and though a lot of those programs are, in fact, alcoholism programs, training of trainer programs, and they get their funds from the state and federal government. None of the items that you just mentioned, I believe, come from RuralCAP.
Thank you, Mr. Akers. Mr. Dietrich, do you have anything further?
We can go to get this information or have any idea of where this grant originates from?
Mr. Akers?
This grant originates from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And the contact for a specific title and reference would be Judy Holden. And her phone number is 465-4890.
Thank you, Mr. Akers. Anything further, Mr. Dietrich?
We do thank you for your cooperation and the information there.
Thank you very much. Next to Bethel, Dorothy Aloysius.
Yeah, hello. My name is Dorothy Aloysius. I work for the Association of British Council Presidents. I'm the director for the Social Service Program. And our association with the RuralCAP has been with the Head Start program because those services that they service, we also service out of our office. And they're Imanok, Shiva, Babes in Imanok. We have worked with RuralCAP and the Association of British Council strongly urges interest to provide funding for RuralCAP through the community service block grant programs. And when we work with the alcohol and drug abuse program, the problem is statewide. And our health arm here at on the NBCP Delta with a program, the alcohol and drug abuse program that RuralCAP provides. And I'm also the trainer for the In the Spirit of the Family. I've had 3 full years of training, although they weren't provided by RuralCAP. We still work with the program with Cookie Gwynn and Laura Casanella. And our people from this area who are going down to Ketchikan to take the training of trainers sometime this month. Many of our people are healthier today because of the Rural Providers Conference and that RuralCAP has held. So the Association of Village Councils strongly urge you guys to fund RuralCAP through the Community Service Program. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. Excuse me. Next we go to Ketchikan, Vicki Armstrong.
Hi. I'm the business manager for Women in Safe Homes. We are a shelter for women and children who are victims of battering and sexual abuse. Our service area includes Ketchikan, Hyder, Metlakatla, Wrangell, Petersburg, and Prince of Wales Island. This year, we received emergency homeless funds from RuralCAP to house homeless women and children. From June 1990 to January 1991, we housed 261 individuals. Not only did we house them, but we were able to provide other services, such as physical checkups, organization for children provided by the local health clinic, parenting education provided by our in-house parenting program, education on domestic violence, sexual assault, and substance. Also, referrals for housing, medical, and legal assistance. Ketchikan has experienced a growth of 22% in the last 10 years. With no new income housing, this has caused a crisis for many people. According to the local Alaska State Housing Authority, there is a waiting list for 160 housing units. The Ketchikan community homeless now has 2 modular units for homeless. Since their opening this fall, they have not experienced any decrease in the number of homeless housed, mainly because their beds are filled by 6 men and their families with children on the street. The problem is not resolved and certainly is not going away. We ask that you support the Community Service Block Grant proposal submitted by RuralCAP. We have found that RuralCAP is a very competent and very much utilized organization, and we give them our full support.
Thank you, Vicki. Diane Sirlees, I hope I pronounced that right, in Ketchikan.
Yes, you did. Thank you. My name is Diane Sirlees. I am an adult advocate at the Women in Safe Homes. Up until 3 months ago, I did work for RuralCAP as a home-based visitor with the Head Start program. In the 2.5 years that I worked for Head Start, I was given an excellent training and education. I received over 40 college credits while I was there, and they paid for that. I am a state presenter because of a workshop I went to, and I am also trying to become a family systems facilitator. Since leaving Head Start and working at WISH, I have used all the education that I received at RuralCAP in my new job. I have presented workshops on the family systems and am planning on doing BASE presentations also. The BASE presentation is a prevention program for children. It is the only one in this area, and it was deeply needed and appreciated by everyone, including the adults, who commented that they didn't have this when they were growing up, but if they had, their lives probably would have been different. Please support RuralCAP. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Janice Nikic?
Yes. I started out as a divorcee, kind of second school most of the time, and RuralCAP kind of pulled me out of my deep hole that I dug myself into. They gave me a job. They gave me training. My son was in Head Start, started off in Head Start. Then I started working for Head Start as a cook. They've given me lots of training. I'm working on a cook certificate right now. I've taken the family system and a new program. I can't tell you enough about it. RuralCAP helps lots of low-income people. I'm one of them. They've given me courage, self-confidence, able to, or how should I say this, be able to do for myself, which for a long time I wasn't able to do that. But I really want to tell you, RuralCAP knows what to do for low-income people. What they do is really great. What they do with all the programs is deeply needed, and I support every one of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. That concludes my list of people that the list that I have of people that want to testify. As I pointed out, we are running out of time. However, as I've indicated earlier, I will go to back through the list of communities that we heard testimony from. If anyone has any specific questions, and I'd like to ask that if there are questions or something that could be dealt with the staff over the phone, that perhaps you do it that way. But if there's something crucial as a result of this hearing that you would like to ask the resource people that are here, I will go through and give that opportunity. I would ask you, again, to be brief. Also, I hear a lot of support for RuralCAP here today. It might be appropriate just to say that I was notified Friday by the Speaker of the House and President of the Senate that they did notify me. They appointed me to the RuralCAP Board to represent the House and Senate, so perhaps I'll get to understand more about RuralCAP and this funding process. I thought that your testimony here was very good today. I believe Lincoln Bean is here, and before we go to the questions, I would like to give him an opportunity to offer testimony. I guess you are not the owner of Bean's Cafe, but Lincoln is from Cake. I'm here in person, so welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of our RuralCAP. A little bit about my background. I'm from Cake, and listening to testifying for family systems, and I can tell you that it's very important to our community to work on a village level, learning these kind of skills on how to deal with alcohol and substance abuse. I've been an EMT for going on 10 or 11 years. And if I were to testify here on what alcohol and substance abuse can do to our people, I'd take up this whole meeting. I'm also chairman for Surge Corporation as a third term, and I've been involved with them for 10 years. And I can see the need for the family system program and see the need for the Head Start program and how important these basic needs are for our local communities all over the state of Alaska. I've just been appointed as a new associate member to Rural CAP. I haven't yet attended the program or any of their meetings. In fact, this would be the first meeting for Rural CAP. But to testify for these programs, I ask for your support for the block grant for Rural CAP. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Very quickly, we'll go back through these. Dillingham, do you have anything pressing? Bethel? Fairbanks?
There is nobody here that would like to testify at this time.
Glenn Allen?
Yes, sir. We do have Carolyn Nelson with the Chamber of Commerce would like to testify at this time.
She did testify earlier. Does she have a specific question for Mr. Akers?
I believe it was there's a specific question would like to be addressed to the committee.
Okay, very good. Carolyn, go ahead.
I'd like to know what other programs are available other than Rural CAP under this BOSS grant program.
You'll have to excuse us just for a second here. Could you repeat your question?
What other programs are available besides Rural CAP under the Block Grant Program?
Representative Sherry Davis, the Vice Chairman of the Committee, is the old pro at CNRA, and I'll allow her to answer that question.
He's only telling me the answer because he knows I don't have the answer. Rural CAP primarily gets its funding, as I understand it, through this federal block grant, and I would have to refer to staff from the department if I were going to get any further answers out of that.
Mr. Akers?
Rural CAP is an all-encompassing type agency. Its major funding is through this particular federal fund program coming from the U.S. Health and Social Services. Other block grants that are available to a community can range anywhere from alcoholism block grants through Health and Social Services and other agencies that may put out for bid or RFP to your community. The only issue that we have today that we are dealing with is the community services block grant. The other block grant that's on the agenda today is the community development block grant, which is HUD funds. Those funds, though, are eligible to communities on a competitive basis to address economic development or economic development infrastructure needs. The city council or city managers of your communities can apply for these community development block grants, which I think top out at $100,000 per year. And those funds can go for trying to start up a tannery or a fur factory or a fish skin processing plant, those types of issues. So we have two types of issues on the table today. Thank you.
Okay. It was my understanding, Mr. Akers, that we were taking testimony on either of these two things. And it's my understanding that we have John Pingiak in Chivac and Pete Skwartzoff in Port Lyons who wish to testify specifically on that one. However, I wanted to finish up this community block grant.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question of Mr. Akers. What is the standard state match on these federal grants?
There's no required state match. We, in writing our criteria for communities to win the grants, the more that the communities is able to match in the process, the higher the points that they get in order to obtain a grant. But you can obtain grants without matches, depending on the need and the criteria. And as the committee reviews these grants, these RFPs that return to us, they can. The requirement itself is not in concrete.
What about rural cap? What kind of a match do we have to put on rural cap?
Rural cap is required, no state match. This is a simple, straightforward pass-through. They happen to be the only community action agency eligible in the state of Alaska. And as long as they are doing their job and that their plan that we monitor on an annual basis is up to standard of the Health and Social Services, they will continue to be operate that grant.
Thank you.
Representative Baker?
Mr. Chairman, just a further follow-up question. We start out today, I think you mentioned $1.1 million. Was that the number that we used? Now, are those federal dollars? Okay. How many state dollars are involved? Zero. So we're only talking about matching funds from the local level for some of these programs.
They are not required of us. We do not require Rural Cap to provide any matching funds on this Community Service Block Grant program.
No, not Rural Cap. I'm talking about the total grant block program. I understood the rural cap.
Okay.
Rural cap side of it.
This is Judy Holden, Block Grants Administrator for both of these federal programs. I think what I hear from you is that right now there's a little confusion between which block grant program we're talking about. And Community Services Block Grant, which is $1.1 million, does not need to be matched either by the state or by the sub-grantee recipient. The Community Development Block Grant, which comes from HUD, which we haven't really gone into yet, is $1.7 million, and there is a match requirement for that for the state and for leveraging for sub-grantees, but not for community services.
Yeah.
Okay, so approximately, and just in general dollars, for the CDBG piece of the puzzle, about how many state dollars would come into play in order to qualify for those federal funds?
We have to match community development block grant funds at about 20%, and we do that very easily through an associated program that we run, which is Rural Development Assistance Program, which gets $1.7 million from the state. And we can use that for match as far as the federal government is concerned, but there are other grant programs that we could actually use to do the same thing.
So approximately a third of $1 million of state dollars in order to bring the $1.7 million of federal dollars forward. Is that not specific, but just in generality?
Yes, but it's a paper match. All you have to do is identify, you know, on paper for the federal government that we do use other funds for similar activities, and that's the match.
Thank you.
Representative Sherry Davis.
Mr. Chairman, I know this is really confusing for people. It's still confusing for me, and I've been doing it for a little while, but I just, so everyone clearly understands, maybe I'll try this one more time. The federal government determines how much money is going to be put into block grant programs. One of those block grant programs is the Community Services Block Grant Program, which comes to Community and Regional Affairs, who then distributes it to, at this time, the only community association that is eligible, and that is Rural Cap. If there were more community associations eligible, then money would be distributed differently. But all but a small portion that is available for, that is used for administration and CNRA, is used to go out to these block, to these grantees in the various communities for these various projects. And everybody's nodding, so I must have said it right.
Yeah.
That's why I called on you earlier, Representative Davis, for that fine explanation. It is somewhat confusing, but I'm sure that if we have any other questions, we can get them to the staff, and perhaps if you could provide the committee with an overview of the funds and different block grants, then it might be very helpful to some of us. We are, again, almost out of time. We do have enough time for a couple more questions. Any of the committee members, first of all, have any comments or questions? Then we'll go see where I lead off. Metlakatla, did you have any questions?
No, I don't think we did, except for knowing timelines as far as when you know the status as far as funding.
Timelines?
I didn't understand.
Could you repeat the question?
I guess. What I was wondering about is when you would know the status as far as if there was going to be any action as far as cutting?
Mr. Akers?
Thank you very much. This committee is not empowered, well, they probably could cut it, but it's federal monies, and the funds are simply passed through to meet both the state plan, which we are required to send to the federal government and have this hearing, and the state plan that RuralCAP is required to give to us so that we know what they're going to do. Funds that we are talking about are not or will not be cut. They'll be passed through in their entirety except for the small amount we need to operate on ourselves.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Akers. At this point in time, we are out of time, and I would like to thank those people that participated in all of the communities. I think if some of you still had additional questions or need information, you could contact the resource people directly, and we'll take care of it that way. Again, to reiterate, this committee is not looking to take action, specific action on any of these programs. This hearing today was a courtesy that was given to Community and Regional Affairs because they are required by law to hold public hearings, and this was simply to facilitate that and also to understand a little bit more about the program. So that will conclude our teleconference. Again, I would thank all of the people for their participation. The next committee meeting of House Community and Regional Affairs will be at the call of the chair. We will not be meeting Wednesday or Thursday. Most likely we'll meet again on Monday. So with that, we'll adjourn the meeting.